Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and this is part one of a three-part story featuring the life and times of Baby Boomer Grant Young. Born in 1949, Grant starts his talk by reminiscing about his early years in and around Geelong West. Grant, like many of his generation, led a healthy outdoor lifestyle with few restrictions. Using his imagination was an integral part of not only his life, but of the lives of the kids around him. Grant also reflects on his love of radio, which started in the 1950s and has continued on to today, whilst also sharing his recollections of the early years of television. Even though he recalls that his early experiences at school weren't great due to suffering from what was then an undiagnosed ADHD syndrome, Grant has grown up believing that you should never stop learning, which is a belief he still follows today. There are stories involving his memories of the wonderful music scene that developed in the 1960s, and he finishes off part one of his story talking about the Vietnam conscription, a discussion that continues on into the next program. Here I am, talking with Grant. Grant, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me into your home. And could I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
It's a pleasure to have you here, Rob. I was born in 1949, so I'm a real baby boomer.
You are.
I was born in Geelong.
What would be your earliest memories then, Grant?
Well, the earliest memories, I'm thinking I'm around about three or four, and we'd moved into our house, which my mother lived in almost all her life after that. And as I say, in Geelong West, and they were putting the road in at the front, and they'd dug like a great trench, I guess, and we couldn't get across it. And I was in a pram at the time, so I was probably closer to three, I think, or pusher. And Mum couldn't get me across, so one of the workmen picked up the pusher, walked it across, put it on the footpath, and inside we went. That's the earliest memory that I've got. And at the same time, the house next door was being built, and I can remember climbing up on the fence and talking to the workmen there. It was quite a novelty.
So was that part of Geelong very rural at that stage?
Geelong West is a very small suburb. If you asked, was Geelong West itself rural, the answer would probably be no. People used to come to Geelong itself and back in the gold rush days, and they would go through Geelong West, often stay overnight. There was hotels and that there, and then they would head off towards Ballarat. So if you look at Geelong West as a half circle, it was fairly well enclosed at that stage with housing, but you didn't have to go too far before you were out in places like Finesford and Bell Post Hill, those sort of areas, which were quite rural.
You mentioned Mum. What sort of woman was she? What are your memories of her?
Yeah, my mum was 5 foot and half an inch. She used to tell us. I never had any doubts about the half inch. It was the 5 foot that had me somewhat nonplussed. Like a lot of very small women, she was very, very determined, and she ran the house. What she said went, and that was it. And she was very much into her church. We'd go every Sunday, ladies' guild member, like to chat with the neighbours. In many ways, an ordinary woman, but like I think all our mothers, we see extraordinary things in them, which other people probably don't get to see. In the house and that, and I know she's very well respected and very well liked. But she definitely had a mind of her own, as we as kids
found out. Sounds like she was a pocket rocket there.
Yeah, she certainly could be. She could be very, very fiery. And when I talked to my cousins and that, who knew her very well, I mean, it was their aunt. They've never ever seen that side of her. And I never sort of bring it up. Yeah, you know, but it's interesting to see what their viewpoint of it was. But and my father was, he was a biggish man. He's 5'11½, not quite 184 centimetres, and he was very, very strongly built. He was a labourer. He died fairly young. I was 15 when he died, and they're a bit of an odd couple in some ways, quite different in views and that at times, like I think many couples are. So, yeah, I can still remember the night my father died. I was about 15 so from then on, Mum lived on her own.
Must have been a pretty traumatic moment for you when he passed away at 15.
I think it was more surreal in many ways. Yeah, he'd been sick for quite a while, on and off, and he was in the hospital when he died. And then it was almost a case of, well, then he wasn't there. We weren't allowed to go to the hospital too often to see him. So, yeah, it was more surreal. And all of a sudden you think, oh, well, I don't have a father. And being the eldest in the family, I've got a brother and a sister. Being the eldest, a lot of responsibilities fell to me. I left school, went to work, so we had a bit more money because people weren't looked after as well back then with Centrelink and those sorts of things. So, so he's been gone, 47, getting on 50 years now.
Okay, you mentioned going to work, but I think there's probably a little bit more of your story to investigate before we get to that point in your life. Going back to you as a young boy, you obviously went to school. What was the school experience like?
A waste of time. No, not quite.
But it wasn't a positive one?
No, it wasn't. I didn't find out till many, many years later. I was actually an ADD kid, concentration and stuff wasn't good.
And they didn't know about it then, did they? They didn't make allowances.
I used to get reports, and I laugh at them today, which was, would do better if tried harder, or would do better if concentrated. And I was looking at these one day and I thought, well, wouldn't you think that if I could have, I would have? But it just wasn't there.
That's right.
I was good in some areas, English, history, geography, but maths and stuff, and we just
came past you.
Yeah. I did brilliantly in one maths exam. I got 3 out of 100, so that... That was something to look back on.
It sort of reinforces what people are saying. Yeah. You know, usually they call them, you know, dumb and silly. They don't, because they didn't understand then.
They didn't know what it was.
No.
And yet nowadays my arithmetic, mathematics is not something I'm particularly good at. But you want me to add up anything good, I'll do it there. Yeah, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
So some of it obviously came in, but once we moved on to mathematics in particular, I just didn't. I couldn't see the use in it, was one thing. I mean, that's probably because I couldn't make it work.
Yes. What about friends? Did you have many friends?
Yeah, I had a friend of mine, Daryl, who lived around the corner. We were friends for many, many years. Lost contact now, as you do as you get older and you move around. And most of the friends I had when I was young were girls. That was, they inhabited my street and around there. So that was good fun. And some of them were about as good sport as what I was, and really valued that time. And some good friends were of Maltese background. Mum and Dad had come out here, were living in the street, so they were good to learn from. It took me ages to work out that Malta was part of the British Empire. I thought they were something like lapsed Italians or something of that nature. I didn't work it out. They looked like Italians. They had the accent, but they were wonderful people that Australia couldn't do without.
Yes, indeed. What about things that you did? What was it? These days, kids have got all sorts of screens to entertain them, but you had nothing like that. Then what did you do for entertainment?
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Grant Young, and Grant is recollecting stories about his early childhood.
Look, I think you can sort of sum it up in two ways. Sport was the big thing for me. Football, cricket, played on the road out in front.
Of course.
You didn't kick it through a window or hit it through a window. And you'd find a lot of kids that gather, and the girls as well. And we'd go out. I was just thinking of with the test match on today, I'd be half wanting to be listening to the test match and half wanting to be out playing my own test match.
Of course, yes.
Out the front, and the same with kicking a football. And the other thing that we did was use our imaginations.
Yes.
Played games, arrested bank robbers, yeah, all those sorts of things. Sometimes get out in the, well, when I was fairly young, you get out in the backyard and dig holes in the garden and make tunnels and, and that sort of thing. Very rarely were we inside, unless it was extremely hot or it was just that wet you couldn't go out.
It was a very healthy lifestyle for a kid, wasn't it?
Oh, a very healthy lifestyle. And everybody felt there was safety. So often as a kid, I'd go for a fairly long walk and inspect storm water drains and go up to where the railway line was, go down to where the slaughter yards were, get around. And I mean, I could set off just after breakfast, not get back till lunch or even a bit after that. So there was a lot of freedom to investigate and explore and even as a child to form your own opinions on what was going on.
Yes. A lot of those activities these days are not so much frowned on but are stopped because they considered them as too dangerous. But as kids, there really were no very few limits, were there, on what you could do?
Very, very few. You were told what your boundaries were. Don't go past X or Y. And you didn't, mainly because people knew you. And it didn't take long to get back to mum and dad. So you thought, well, here I am at X Street. Will I go across the other side of the road or will I stay here? Generally, you stayed where you were. But as you got a little bit older, you got a little bit braver. So you just go over to the other side, look at the houses there. Yeah. Now, I reckon that part of my life was terrific.
Yes.
And I don't think I've probably felt quite so free ever since.
Interesting, isn't it? You would like to think that as you got older you feel safer, but it's almost the reverse.
It is almost the reverse. I think it's part of a change in society. And I think also one of the things that I think affects people when we get certain types of crimes, we seem to get it for weeks in the media and it impresses on us that it's perhaps more dangerous than what it actually is. I can remember many years ago they pushed on the stranger danger stuff, you know, for kids, and whereas the truth was, a stranger really wasn't someone to worry about quite often.
Certainly not in those days.
Those who were at home.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah. If you're going to be abused, that was where it would come from.
Yeah. You mentioned as a kid you were torn between playing the test match and listening to the test match. Did radio play a part in your early life?
I loved radio, yeah. And I still do, more than I do television. I can remember in Christmas holidays, if we were inside, Mum used to listen to all the radio serials. And so I'd sit down there. There was nothing much else to do.
Yes.
My brother was nearly 4 years younger than me, so there was a bit of a difference. And oh, I can remember anything from Blue Hills and Portia Faces Life, Dr. Paul, and all these great dramas that go on day after day. And I was quite bemused with my mother when we finally got TV. She used to watch things like Days of Our Life. She just moved from one serial to another. This one was visible. Yeah.
So can you remember getting your first TV set?
Yeah, we got it when my father was unwell. I would have been about 13, I think. And it was very strictly monitored as to what I could watch and what I couldn't watch and that sort of stuff. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I was told I couldn't watch, I don't think you'd even turn a hair at.
These days.
Today. Yeah. It's all changed. And I always have enjoyed, and I don't know where it come from, but good actors and that type of thing. And so some of the better film actors that finished up with TV series, I used to enjoy watching them go about their work.
And, of course, just to remind people, we were watching it in black and white then, weren't we?
We were in glorious black and white.
Glorious black and white.
And I was just thinking yesterday we watched the Test cricket in black and white.
Yes.
And nowadays we've got high definition and the whole lot. You may as well
the whole shebang.
Be there as anything. television's been a waste and it's been a marvellous thing. I think it's been a marvellous thing that people can be entertained in their own home. You've got access to a lot of various programs and that, but I don't think it was ever used properly. We could have learnt so much with television through documentaries and things like that, where we just went pretty much for entertainment. I mean, I love even now getting on SBS and the documentaries, and it could have been a good learning vehicle and entertainment vehicle, but I guess they went where the advertising money was, and it seemed to be an entertainment.
Yes. I think that's probably one advantage kids have these days, is that there are so many documentaries, history shows and things, which makes learning a lot more fun, doesn't it?
Oh,
it really does,
than
just straight book learning, which doesn't come alive.
You should never want to stop. I wouldn't say I'm the sharpest tool in the shed, but I do love to learn. And I was watching something in the last few weeks on spirituality around the Scottish islands and that. And it was fascinating, all the people and their views, and also the islands themselves. And
yes.
The old saints, how they came there, set it up. Learned a hell of a lot. I'll probably forget most of it in 2 weeks' time, but enjoyed learning it while I was there.
Look, I think when you get to our age, you can't keep filling that teacup up before it overflows, so you have to let some of it out,
you? As you can see, I don't have much in the way of hair at all, and I just think you can't have hair and brains as well. Something's got to give.
You mentioned that you left school fairly early. What age was that?
I would have been 14.
So around 1963-ish. Yes. What was your first job then?
I worked for Woolworths when that was the old variety store stuff.
Oh, right, yes. The old counters and
counters.
The whole thing.
I worked in the electrical department, which I think meant you sold light globes and bits and pieces like that. And I was too young, really, to be there. So after about 9 months, the boss and I agreed it was good for me to move on.
Yeah.
So then I went and worked for Croft Stores, which were grocery stores, which were all around Melbourne and that, and I was there for quite a number of years, yeah.
I mean, I'm actually struggling to recall whether I remember or am I imagining it, but were grocery stores in that early period of the 60s, did they still have things like sawdust on the floor then or things in barrels, or were they getting fairly modernised?
There was a bit of bulk and a bit of what we see in the supermarkets now back then.
But it was more personalised, wasn't
it? Yeah, biscuits came in tins.
Right.
So you'd be served, you want sixpence worth of biscuits or something, and you'd do that, so you had that. And you could get wheat and things like that, which are also in bags and that. And then most other things were in packages.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember very much the Mammy Flour package. I don't know why I recall that, probably because this very happy black lady and wearing a red and that. And there was only a fairly small place. There was two cash registers, as they were called then, on the end. So people just grabbed a basket, went around and went out the other side, and away they went.
So did you actually deal with the customers?
Yeah, it was easy.
Did you find that easy?
Yeah. There was always some that you were a bit wary of, but some of the older ladies were a bit, had high expectations of what they would get, I would say. So, but you learned who they were, and you learned how to deal with it. So you'd say, oh, Mrs. Brown, now you normally have, yes, I do, good, getting the good books.
The period mid-60s onwards, you would have been 16, 17, which is a brilliant age to be, because the whole world seems to be opening up. Were you ever touched by, or did you ever get involved in the music that was happening at that period of time? Because there was a lot happening.
Yeah, I could never play. I'm very unmusical.
Yeah, did you ever go to dances and things like that?
Yeah. And I was reminded yesterday, actually, that 1964... was when the miniskirt came in and was on a phone chat. And I said, 1964 was a wonderful year for us blokes.
It was.
There's all women on the thing. They were laughing their heads off. Yeah, I can still remember hearing my first band. I was actually standing outside a hall, and I probably didn't have the money to go in or whatever. And I'm listening to it. This rock band, and I thought, oh, how long has this been going on? This is just and I can still remember the band's name. They came down from Melbourne. They were the Jelly Rollers, and they named themselves out of the blues, mm-hmm. after the blues singer Jelly Roll Morton.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I used to get round to all the various dances, as they were there in halls, and you got some very good bands, and you got, well, some ordinary ones, as you always do.
But, yes.
I find it fascinating. I've seen Russell Morris a few times in later years, and I reckon when I first saw him, it would be 55 or more years ago.
Yes, wow. There.
And it's probably better now, to give him credit, yeah. Yes. So Geelong produced some good bands, but for some reason or other, it was all sort of 60-40 sort of stuff. There wasn't a lot of local rock bands. Right. There were some.
Right.
And the ones that were there were good, and they'd often go and play in such exotic places as Colac, Camperdown maybe on a Saturday night as well, but good enough to be asked to come and play.
Sure, sure.
But no, really, really loved it. And slap bang in the middle of the Beatles and Rolling Stones era, which I think is something I'll never forget. It was marvellous music, and you sort of felt you could sing along with the songs when you really couldn't, but I loved it.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
It was a great period for a young person to be growing up through, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. If you worked and you had a bit of money, so you could buy your own clothes.
Mm.
So, like, my mum couldn't object what I wore.
Mm. You had?
Yeah. I was paying it,
yes.
Know?
Yes.
And I couldn't say that I was the number one fashionista around, but I certainly wasn't going to wear the type of clothes that, say, my father would have worn or that sort of thing. So you had that, and you had money. If you wanted to go out on a date, you could go out, take her out somewhere and eat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like restaurant or an upmarket cafe. You go to the movies. Geelong had amateur theatrics there, and we take her there if you like, which is quite a high standard. And Barry Crocker and people like that started out in there, and yeah, it was good. I couldn't complain at all.
No. You would have been old enough to have been put into the Vietnam conscription ballot. How did that go?
Yeah, I wasn't conscripted.
Number didn't come up?
Well, I'm told it didn't. And some say that number did come up, but it didn't get to me. But I'd have to say I wouldn't have gone. Well, I hope I wouldn't have gone. I hope I would have been strong enough to say it. No, I didn't believe in it from the word go. I think we were sold a lot of lies.
Mm. Well, history showed that later on.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, the whole thing of the communists getting together and coming down and they'd take Australia and that sort of stuff was nonsense. There were so many different forms of communism, and many of them were enemies of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to understand that fairly earlier. Marched in a few demos in Melbourne.
Well, you certainly weren't alone. I mean, it wasn't popular amongst young people.
It was popular when it first started, but it lost its way somehow as we moved on and we had troops there. And I think as we started having some of our troops die, people started to question, well, what are we doing this for? What is this about? And it became a very hostile society towards it. By the time, certainly the time the Whitlam government got in what, 75, I reckon round about 70, I reckon it started to really get on the nose.
Well, that's when all the demonstrations started around that period,
yeah,
didn't they?
Albert Langer and...
Oh, yes. Oh, you remember Albert.
Yeah.
Hard to forget Albert.
Good on him.
But yeah. Exactly. He was ridiculed, but he got up and spoke his mind and actually made people think a little bit more about it.
I mean, even I looked at him as a ratbag and I probably would have agreed with something. Mm. And quite a number there that we just weren't used to that. We weren't used to people coming out and saying, well, this is what I think it is. And also being able to have the power of persuasion.
Mm.
If you were a politician or you had a name, that was, yeah, you could do that, but these were just people that seemed to pop out of the woodwork to begin with, and that was amazing.
And I mean, I think what's a very sad indictment on our society and our government is those young men who did go over there, when they came back, they were pretty much shunned, not so much by the anti-war movement, but by the RSL and the government, and just abandoned.
Yeah, yeah. And some of them didn't come back.
And some didn't come back.
In broad order.
No, they either. Didn't.
I knew a couple in particular, and it was quite sad. They became violent in normal life and in marriages and stuff, which they never were anything like that before.
Do join Grant and I next week for more of his thoughts about the Vietnam War and conscription, and of his extensive overseas trips through Asia and Europe. That's next week, part two of The Life and Times of Grant Young. I'm listening to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Uniting Victoria Tasmania. The program is funded from the Commonwealth and State Government's Home and Community Care Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.